What is going on? I am your host, Dylan. If you'd ever want to come on to this and talk Tigers with me, hit my line on Tigers News. Just DM me and I'll for sure respond. I've been trying to find a co-host. I haven't really found one. I haven't really taken this seriously, but I'd like to start taking this more seriously. So anyways, I am Dylan. I am returning back to the podcast scene, and today I'm going to basically just vent to you guys what I think of the Tigers. I think a lot of people, you know, like to wonder, like, from a guy who watches this team every day and kind of understands, like, what they're doing, like, what my thoughts are on this team in this awful season. I'm going to go into fake trade possibilities, mainly kind of just go over to guys that I think will get traded and why I think they'll get traded. We're going to go over the future direction of this team. Definitely going to have a lot of Alavila talk. We're going to have some draft talk. Just kind of, you know, summarize what we've kind of seen this year with this team. So let's get right into it. So today is July 24th, I believe, and the Tigers are currently sitting 38-58. They just lost 9-1 today to the Twins. And they have shown pretty much no life for the last 2 weeks after making a little bit of a run on a 6-game winning streak earlier. So how have the Tigers really fallen to this? I feel like this is kind of a recap essentially, but the Tigers were last year 77-85. Things finally looked on the come up. The Tigers were starting to spend a little bit of more money. And going into this offseason, it was really time for the Tigers to really open up the checkbook, give some guys some money. We're going to see Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson. Things were looking like they were going to be on the come up. So to start the season, the Tigers' offense just comes out ridiculously flat. Spencer Torkelson is not what everyone thought he was. Riley Green breaks his foot. This is the first couple months. Austin Meadows, a guy acquired just a week before the season, gets hurt, deals with a bunch of illnesses. Jamer Candelario, Robbie Grossman, Jonathan Scope all regress severely. And then Javi Baez, to get the big free agent the Tigers sign, can't hit a baseball. In the rotation, Casey Mize, Tommy John surgery. Matt Manning has pitched 8 innings and has been dealing with, I believe, a shoulder strain. Who else? Michael Pineda, a signing late right after the lockout, has pitched like 20 innings all season. Eduardo Rodriguez went on the IL, then was dealing with his own personal issues with his family. The pitching rotation, while it's been okay at times, has been just decimated by injuries and pretty much making it impossible for Chris Vedder and the Tigers to really, you know, just dominate with a pitching identity, a starting pitching identity, which was what they came in here and wanted to do. But the one thing that has really stayed steady all season long has been this bullpen. For some reason, Chris Vedder or whatever the Tigers have been doing, they just know how to identify relief pitching talent and have just been great. They signed Andrew Chafin to a 2-year deal right after the lockout, and it's looking like a fantastic signing. Joe Jimenez, ever since Chris Vedder has come in, has totally turned his career around. Michael Fulmer, after being moved to the bullpen at the start of 2021, has been an elite reliever, has an amazing slider that no one can hit. Alex Lang has turned into a pretty nice trade acquisition, which we'll go more into trades in a little bit with Alavila and what's going on. But anyways, Will Vest, a guy came out of nowhere. The Tigers have just, they've gotten the production that they've needed out of these relievers and have kept them in games. But it's really only, you know, you can't win games when you only have a good bullpen. You have to hit and you have to be have a good starting rotation, which is why we're sitting here 38-58. So anyways, why has things gone so wrong? I think it's really just Alavila and the Tigers' process with hitting development. The Tigers, all right, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Could you name 5 Tigers in the last 10 years that have been drafted and internally developed and have, like, that have came up and played? Okay? I'm going to give you 5 that I can think of off my head. Derek Hill, Cody Clemens, who just came up recently, Grayson Griner, Tyler Collins, and Mike Gerber. Those are some names that have just come to my mind, and I really don't have to look at many more because the Tigers absolutely suck, and I mean suck, at developing hitters. And this has been a huge problem. It was a problem that, you know, It is even a problem with Dave Dombrowski, but Dave Dombrowski knew how to get talent other ways. The Tigers, who went into this giant rebuild, needed to be able to develop hitters, and they have just failed time after time. I can give you numerous names of guys that the Tigers have taken who were promising college bats, who just did not develop and ended up not making the majors or not being impactful. The Tigers have been focusing on this farm system. They have gotten these bats, Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, who are the two notable ones. They're pretty much tanking. But if you can't draft past the first round, you are not going to win games. Teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, every good team has guys they've drafted. And half of these guys were not even first-round picks. A notable guy, Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers, was a fifth-round pick by the Boston Red Sox. Mike Trout was the 26th pick. There was 25 teams that passed on him. You have to be able to identify hitting talent, and you have to have a plan in place to develop those hitters, and the Tigers just have not. So a lot of people kind of wonder what Al Avila is like doing so wrong, because I think Avila is a scapegoat, but I feel like some people might not know why he's exactly. Like, they know that obviously he's made some bad moves, but what exactly has made Al Avila like the way he has? And I think it is how bland this plan was, the lack of innovation, and I think the lack of a plan and a cowardice kind of personality of Avila. So originally the Tigers tore down, obviously, in 2017, but the Tigers kind of missed some serious opportunities to add some farm talent. Most notably, I would say Michael Fulmer in 2017/18, around that time. Michael Fulmer was a very solid young pitcher who I think the Tigers saw as a future piece. However, the Tigers were flirting with trading with him, and they seemed to get some very good offers. They also had a chance to maximize the value out of Matt Boyd, along with other guys such as Nick Castellanos in 2018. Nick Castellanos is someone I won't understand. The Tigers were pretty set on trading him from like the end of 2017, it seemed like. And they were even listening to offers in 2018 when Castellanos had like 28 home runs or something like that. Had a 3-war year, 800-plus OPS. And the Tigers kind of were just sitting there just like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll trade him. Maybe we won't. We want to. We want to move him around. The Tigers didn't seem like they didn't have an exact plan to add talent. They were just like wait-and-see approach. And Avila he never went out and got anybody, it seems like. You know, he kind of just sat and wait for the market to come to him. And he always blames the market whenever he can't get a deal done. He's not bold enough. He doesn't take enough risks. And whenever he has taken risks, they have not worked. Avila in free agency has really not found any diamonds in the rough. One thing you'll see a lot of good GMs do, such as the Giants guy, Zaidi, or I don't know, just guys around the league, is you'll see these random guys get picked up and turn into really solid players. The Tigers, the best version of that, I can say, in recent memory, is the Tigers did find Nico Goodrum for a couple years. He was okay. And Jose Cisnero. But look at the Dodgers, man. I'm just pointing out these good teams. Look at what the Dodgers did. They found Max Muncy, got him for absolutely nothing, and he turned into a multi-all-star second baseman. The Yankees got Nestor Cortes off of waivers. Even look at the team like the Orioles. The Orioles have gotten some nice talent off the waiver wire and the fringes. Jorge Lopez, all-star relief pitcher. Yeah, he was claimed off of waivers after sucking in Kansas City. Teams know what they know how to do, which would be, you know, I don't know, developing pitchers or developing hitters, and they can do it well. Like look at Cleveland, for example. That's kind of the recipe for succeeding in the majors. And the Tigers just don't know what they were. They don't have like a profile. They don't have like a process, really. It kind of just seems like Avila was just like, oh yeah, we'll do this. You know, he kept changing his mind. So I feel like that's kind of like hurt the Tigers. And again, I feel like the reliance on these big-time prospects, Casey Mize, Riley Green, Torkelson, the reliance on these guys and the lack of development within, their other guys has been just, I feel like, so detrimental. I mean, look at the Angels, man. The Angels have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and they're not winning any games because the rest of their team sucks. The Tigers don't even have an Ohtani or a Trout, and they still couldn't get anybody. But seriously, yeah, the Tigers, like, they haven't really done well after drafting the first round. And they've done horrible.
with the international free agent market. I will give Avila credit. He has kind of been the guy that's like said, okay, we need to start doing that. And Avila has done some good things. I think he has, you know, progressed the Tigers with the technology, catching up in the analytics world. It seems like Avila has done some stuff. I just think his time is up, you know? I think it's time to just admit that it's clearly not working. We got to, you know, promote Sam Mensen. You know, the Tigers do have some things that they do well. Obviously, you have A.J. Hinch and Chris Vetter in place. But the Tigers have seen a severe improvement with developing pitchers, which is something that I think can definitely help this team in the future. The Tigers kind of have a profile that they like. They like these guys with projectability. They like these bigger guys who can throw sliders, and they've taken those guys a lot. And they've started to see in their farm system some guys really take some strides. They got a guy, I think his name is Brant Herder, looking really good. He's got a profile, I heard, like Alex Vieto. He's someone to keep an eye on. Wilmer Flores was a late, he was an undrafted free agent in 2020 in that shortened five-round draft year. He is really coming along. Cole Keith is also someone that's coming along. But anyways, guys, I mentioned earlier in the bullpen, you know, 23rd rounder, whatever, Bo Brisky, Garrett Hill. The Tigers have seen some success with developing pitchers in recent times. So I'm thinking with a lot of these new minor league hires, these smart, savvy guys, you have some guys in the front office that know what they're doing. Make Avila a special assistant somewhere, promote Mensen, and then, you know, make some more hires to try to figure out how to develop hitters, you know what I mean? And get better with technology. I don't know. Stop trying to get these guys that kind of just hit the ball, it seems like, and don't really have a plan. That's what the Tigers' recent hitters, a lot of these Tigers hitters kind of feel like they're like, you know what I mean? They just lack a plan. Javi Baez is the exact version of that. You will see Javi Baez whiff at a slider 2 feet outside and then take a fastball down the middle. I don't think anyone really gets excited watching Harold Castro hit these weak slap singles. And a lot of guys will point out Scott Coolball for a problem. And I definitely think he's someone that you should probably move on because, I don't know, they just can't hit. But I think it's not really on him so much. Last season, they started hitting the ball well. But this season, they've kind of just sucked, so I think Coolball is not someone you scapegoat. Not someone that should be a scapegoat. I'm not so much of a fan. I will be an Avila hater and blamer, but I'm not going to be a Coolball guy. I will say, though, because I trust Hinch. But I will say, though, I mean, the bats have not working. If they want to move on, move on. But anyways, I don't think the Tigers need a clean house is basically what I'm just trying to say. I just think they need someone at top that is smarter, has a little better at doing business with teams, and kind of just has a better eye for talent, you know what I mean? So that's kind of just the Al Avila, my thoughts on Al Avila. I want him fired. I don't care. It doesn't have to be now. I just going at the end of the season, I want to see him gone. I'm very sick and tired of kind of just the same stuff we've seen all these years. The Tigers have done a good job kind of convincing us that things are going to happen. You know, they had a little bit of a farm system 2-3 years ago, but a lot of these guys have burnt out or have gotten hurt or just, you know, just play not suck. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Avila. So I'm gonna make this quick with my draft thoughts. I didn't really pay too much attention past round 5, but I will just talk about kind of the trends and basically what I thought of these early round picks. So at pick 12, you go Jace Young or Jung, however it's said. I love this tick. I think it's exactly what the Tigers needed. He's a patient hitter. He can hit for pop. He can hit for average. He rakes, man. That's pretty much how to put it with him. And I think the Tigers just need to get some bats into their system. So Jace Jung, perfect pick. Probably going to be your future second baseman down the road. I guess he starts in low A, maybe high A. I think he'll end the season in high A. But I'm just hoping that the Tigers can develop him. This is the problem with the Tigers. I know I kind of just ranted about it, but their development with hitters is just not on par. So you have to take every single offensive player that's picked with a grain of salt just because of the recent history. But I think Jace Jung is like the safest type of player that you can find. So I think that it's an A-minus pick. I like the pick a lot. So then second round pick, you go college bat again. You get Peyton Graham. Another pick that I actually really like. I think Graham is a competitor. Hit 20 home runs in college, 30 stolen bases. That's a great combo.
He's 6'3". He's pretty skinny. He's only like 180, 185. So he's got some projectability with power. And it seems like he could possibly stick at shortstop or maybe end up at third. But it seems like he's a very solid defender. And he kind of does everything kind of well. It's a, now, again, it's a college bat, so taking it with a grain of salt. But it's a profile that I like and I think will be interesting to see in the minors. So then there's no third-round pick because of Erod. But then in the fourth round, you went and get Troy Melton out of San Diego State. He comes from a really good hitting coach. Totally reworked his delivery and has pitched really well. He's like 6'2", 6'3", has projectability with him. Throws a nice slider, it seems like. Or at least, what I heard about him was that he has a very good stuff. His slider has kind of one-plane movement. So I'm just guessing with this guy that the Tigers are going to try to rework it, have more two-plane movement, and I think he definitely has some starting pitcher upside. It's early to say really what, but that's a pick I can definitely get behind. And then the Tigers seem to go college bass. They went, what's his name? It was Luke Gold or something like that. It was a draft pick out of, I think, Boston College. I should have done my research more, but he came from the same school as Sal Frelick from the Brewers organization. But yeah, it seems like they kind of just went and grabbed some college bats that they thought they you know, some college bats. Most of them are from big schools, which is something the Tigers have done like for the last 20 years. They always take guys, hitters from bigger schools, but they did it again. So I'm just hoping that these guys can develop. The Tigers can finally get some bats that can come up and hit for them. I will say I like what the Tigers did in the later rounds. They know, kind of admit that they know what they can do well, so they took a bunch of pitchers. I think they took a pitcher like every round after like 13 or 14. So that's kind of my thoughts on the draft class. Obviously, way too early to really say what this draft class was, but I think it's a promising draft class. I think every year, though, there's kind of some promise. Can the Tigers develop hitters? We won't know. We'll have to wait and see and find out. But I like the first round, the first few picks that the Tigers made, and I don't really have a problem with it. So, yeah, I say it's a pretty solid draft class. All right, so let's get to the real talk. Let's talk about the future. I don't know one sports fan that doesn't like talking about their future with their team. So let's get into the trade deadline talk and then what I kind of want to see for next year. This is kind of a more broad podcast, I'd say, just because I'm kind of getting back into it. I think in the future, I don't know if we're going to be breaking down much of the Tigers' current performance because they suck, but I think more of kind of just like breaking down more minor moves, like trade deadline moves for a future podcast. But anyways, here's kind of what I'd do for the future with this team. So for the trade deadline, there's about five names that I think are going to get moved or at least should be moved. So starting off to small, I think Robbie Grossman is going to get traded somewhere as a righty platoon bat. Grossman obviously has not hit right-handed pitchers this year, but he has before, so I wouldn't say it's like a total lost cause with him. He's someone that I believe wants a change of scenery really bad. Just, you know, you've kind of heard him say some things. He already mentioned the Comerica Park thing. So whenever I hear someone talk about Comerica Park in a negative way, I think they're truly just frustrated. So what he does do, though, is he has like a 180, 190 WRC plus against left-handed pitchers. So, and you know, that's something that teams are definitely going to want. So I think even with a couple mil on his contract, Tigers could eat some. Tigers can get maybe a one or two low-level prospects for Grossman, which I think is a W. Grossman doesn't really have a need on his roster anymore. You already have Riley Green in center. Austin Meadows is probably going to be back, I'd guess, by the mid-August. And he's a long-term guy. And then, you know, you have Daz Cameron, Akil Badu, Carey Carpenter. You got some guys that you could take a look at, or at least I'd like to see going into next year. You know, you have a couple of names to decide if you want to protect for the Rule 5 draft. So you got to get a look at them. That's why I think Grossman's kind of just a waste of roster space right now. In fact, going forward with, you know, what I'd do if you put me in charge, I'm DFAing, or I would have DFA'd Michael Pineda right away. Michael Pineda has absolutely no business being on this damn roster. He is 300 pounds, he throws 89, and he just flat out stinks. I don't understand why Michael Pineda is pitching every fifth day. But the thing is, I do, because there's no one else that's going to pitch. That thing pisses me off. So, yeah, now he's on the IL, so I don't really care anymore. I like that they are sliding Alexander back into the rotation because I think Alexander is better than almost everybody. You saw Rony Garcia come back for 3 innings and get hurt again. I don't really want to see him in a rotation ever again. He kind of sucks donkey. Garrett Hill, I assume we're going to see more of. I'm not a fan, really. I think he's got okay stuff. I think he's a spot starter that can come up and down. He's not someone I hate, but he's not someone I want to see much. Brisky's going to be back soon. So will Erod. So that's good. But yeah, nothing I really want to see with the rotation getting changed. Tarik Skubal, I've heard a thing or two of moving him for like a bat. Hell no. Tigers got 2 core pieces to build around, and that's Tarik Skubal and Riley Green. So you hold on to them. Yeah, also about that Juan Soto talk, that was kind of just all speculation. I know that the Tigers will not get Juan Soto. I know they don't have the balls, and I know that they can't. They physically can't because they would have to give so much, and they have so little to give that it would just hurt them. And there's just no reason to. Juan Soto is going to get $500 million anyway, and he hasn't even committed to for sure signing an extension, which, I mean, that's going to give some teams some good leverage with the Nationals, just looking at that from a business standpoint. But, yeah, anyways, what I want the Tigers to do this deadline more than anything is control the market for relievers. The Tigers can definitely play. If they play their cards right, I think they can get a lot out of the relievers because they have, like, 5 guys that could be worth moving. Again, you might wonder, why do I want to move these relievers? It's because we're 20 games under 500. So I don't understand the point of keeping these relievers that, one, are probably going to leave in a year or two, at least for Falmer and Chafin's case. 2, may not even be good. Relievers are so inconsistent that, you know, 1 year they can be great and the next year they're out of the league. So when their value is high, you got to get, you need to add some talent to this farm system. Well, it's not like as bad as I feel like I'm betraying it to be. It's a lot worse than, like, I think, you know, the casual fan has been told all of the stuff about this farm system will think. It's probably around 18th in the best in the league, you know, around a 20th. And with the lack of talent at the major league level, you gotta replenish it. So anyways, I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to need relievers. Every team needs relief pitching. So if you can, you know, talk to multiple teams about multiple guys, maybe package 2 and 1, I feel like you can definitely take advantage of these teams and get some very solid prospect value in return. Some guys that have kind of like, I will definitely make some fake trades in the future, but some guys that I've kind of looked at, one guy I like with Minnesota is Joey Weimer, I believe that's his name. I might totally just be off on this one, but yeah, Minnesota looks like they got a pretty nice bat, and Joey Weimer that I'd love to go grab. Kevin Biggio is someone that I think could be interesting to get. Another guy I also think is Danny Jansen, if the Jays want to give up a major league level guy, because Danny Jansen, I'm kind of confused on like what's going on with the Toronto. They have 3 really good catchers in their organization, so I feel like they can definitely use one of them to get some relief pitching. I think the Jays need relief pitching more than anyone. Other guys, I could definitely go see some relievers going too. I saw, you know, Michael King had that freak injury, so they're definitely going to need a pitcher. So Falmer, Jimenez, and Chafin are guys, the three guys that I would be absolutely pissed off to not see moved. Joe and Chafin, I know, have a year of control, but I only think that just makes their value better. I don't really want to hold on to them. Chafin is such a nice lefty arm, and he's so consistent. So I think there's for sure going to be interest. Joe Jimenez is cheap. I don't even think he's getting paid like $2 million and has a whole extra year of control, and his stuff is just insane. So he's someone I definitely would be seeing getting some stuff for. And then Falmer's a late-inning guy. He knows how to pitch. I think he's the best reliever on this team. So he's definitely someone that I'm hoping a team pays up for. And then how about 2-time All-Star Greg Soto? Greg Soto has so much upside, and he knows how to pitch in the 9th inning. And, you know, he's only had like 2 blown saves all season. So I think he's someone that also should be in trade talks. And then the last guy is Alex Lang. Alex Lang has elite stuff and has the most control out of anyone, so I think he will be the most expensive. But if a team wants to pay up for Alex Lane and get a reliever like that, go for it. Go for it, Tigers. Get your prospect value that you need. I don't want to hoard on any relievers. Hoarding on relievers is stupid. If you can get something out of, I think Tyler Alexander stays because I like that he can pitch multiple innings and I don't see a team really paying up for him. Who else? Maybe Will Vest. I strongly doubt anyone like pays up for him. Am I missing someone in the bullpen? I hope not. But yeah, outside of that, that's kind of your bullpen right there. Jose Cisneros back. I don't see anyone really wanting him. He's been hurt all year. So Cisneros was someone I wanted to see the Tigers move last offseason, and they decided not to. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the deadline. Go get some prospect capital. So once you move that, and here's the thing. Now we know that the Tigers can, like, make these pitchers good, so do it again, man. You know, call up Angel De Jesus. He actually looked pretty good today. Call up, I don't know, Drew Carlton maybe. Call up some guys. Lose 95 games this year. You know, just move on and, you know, suck. So, yo, suck in the second half. Get a good draft pick. I mean, the lottery is a thing, but, you know, just it doesn't matter anymore. This season's a lost cause. So get to see who's on this team, you know. Cody Clemens, is he something? You know, he's had some solid at-bats. Kerry Carpenter has 1,000 OPS and has hit 25 home runs already. Why don't we call him up and give him a shot? Ali Sanchez, interesting catcher grab. Tucker Barnhart doesn't really look good. And I mean, Tucker Barnhart, I think, stays only because he's a catcher and these pitchers know him, and it's kind of bad to just, you know, get rid of him after that. But Ali Sanchez, when his rosters expand, maybe see what you have in him. You have a waiver claim to him. Brendan Davis was a waiver claim. He's done pretty well in Toledo. Maybe give him a shot. Just give some of these guys a shot that are under 40 that are just sitting there in the minors, you know. There's no reason not to. The season's over. So, you know, see if they have something in them. And then going into the offseason, the plan for me is I want to see the Tigers add a quality bat in the outfield. So you have Meadows in left field. I think there's definitely a path to success. So you fire Avila going into September. And I think there is a path to success going into 2023 if you play your cards right and you get some luck. So obviously Austin Meadows needs to be healthy and not get every illness on the planet next season. And then Riley Green, who's going to continue to develop in year two, you put him center field. Right field, I want to see the Tigers add someone. One guy I'm have my eyes on is Joey Gallo, who's not going to probably come out be well received when I first say it, but I think he's a potential 130, 140 WRC plus bat that puts up a 380 on base percentage and hits 30 dongs. If you can go grab that and put that in right field on a 2-year deal, that could be very valuable. And if not, it's fine. You're not like contending next year anyway, probably. It's not like you're desperate to contend. But if you give Gallo even just a 1-year prove it deal just to show himself, I think you get some very nice value. I also like who would be more expensive, Brandon Nimmo. Such a nice on base guy. He doesn't have a ton of power, but really knows how to get on base, and he might even play center field if Riley Green struggles in center. So far, I think Riley Green has passed the eye test. The arm sucks, but other than that, he's got the range. So and I think that's what truly matters. So far, I'm a fan of Riley Green in center field. He'll probably later in his career have to move into a corner outfield spot, but I think that was expected anyway. Anyways, then third base. So in infield, this is a very, very tough decision with Jamer Candelario. So Candelario this season has a 62 WRC plus or something around there. He's been dog crap. He can't play defense. He can't hit. And he's getting expensive now. I think he's entering year 5 of control. I think maybe even year 6. I think he might be a free agent after next year. But he is not a tendered hot seat so badly. He's been really bad. He's going to get a lot of money. And there's some guys that might come up and start. I want to see Ryan Kreidler come up more than anyone this year. Kreidler broke out last year, but he still dealt with a wrist injury, I believe. I think it was a broken wrist and has been out for like a long time. And there hasn't really been a ton of talk with him. But I just want to see some competition at third base because Jamer Candelario has not hit a baseball. You can't pay him $8-9 million. And if you want to contend next year, or at least, you know, better, you can't be giving these guys opportunities when they have a 60 WRC plus in the MLB because that's not how you win. So I'm very, like, on the edge with non-tendering Candy because, he still has something to prove. We know that he's hit. He can hit. He's hit before. But, you know, do you just move on and try someone else at third, or do you keep him and just hope he gets better?
it's really a tough decision for me. And I feel like without Avila, then the decision will be much different because it's a new regime. You know what I mean? I think with Avila, especially, you know, with the fact that Avila went and grabbed Candelario, and you don't really have anyone else at third for the future, he's going to keep him. But I feel like without Avila, it's a different look. So then I would definitely sign a third base replacement. Maybe just get a guy, you know, who can hit. I feel like you just got to get some bats into this lineup. I don't really care much about the defense. I don't really have anyone on my mind for third base, but you know, when the time comes, I definitely will. And I think by the end of the season, you can take some more time to evaluate Candelario, because he's definitely someone that's going to be brought up in the front office going at the end of the season. It's just, you know, there's a huge debate with him. So then shortstop, you got Javi for next year. I think Javi's going to bounce back. I think he's still a 3-4 war player. I'm not too worried about him. Even though his approach at the plate sucks, it's Javi Baez. We know this. And then Jonathan Scope's also another tough decision. Right now I'm for keeping Scope. Second base is also in a thin position in the farm system. Kreidler is a name that can come up and maybe take that spot, prove something. But as of now, Scope has been the best defender in the league. He's still on pace for like a 2.5 WAR season, and he's hit before. I think he'll do it again. So that's kind of how I see the second and third base. First base, I think it's Torque's job to lose again, even though he's been atrocious this year. Maybe you sign a cheap bench bat to a 1-year deal that could start, who's a lefty, maybe like a Dan Vogelback or something. But I think Torque is still the plan at first base, and I think he should be. It's way too early to give up on Torque. And then at catcher, thank the Lord for Jake Rogers, man. Jake Rogers is going to come back. I love the Jake Rogers and Eric Haas combination. They play off each other really well. Eric Haas is more of a bat-first catcher who can hit lefties. Jake Rogers, kind of just a defensive-first catcher. I think Jake Rogers is very underrated for what he can be in the future. I think Rogers showed at defensively last year that he is legitimately a starting level catcher, and he even hit a little bit too. I don't think he'll hit nearly as well as he did in that short sample size. I think he's probably about a 75 WRC plus hitter at best, 80, 85 maybe. He's got a little bit of pop in the bat, but the hit tool is just way too low. He's going to strike out like 35% of the time. But yeah, a little bit of pop and could play very good defense. I think that's a low-end starting catcher or a very high-end backup. So I like Rogers and Barnhart for the future at catcher. And then with the rotation, I think the rotation could be set for next year. You got Scooble, Erod, and Turnbull all coming back as a sure 1-2-3. And again, I like Brisky as like a back-end starter. Then you can add a fifth starter, whether it's a free agent for cheap, or if you want to go and invest some money into another starting pitcher, I'd be for that. But I would just be wary because, you know, the history of signing starting pitchers and their injuries. Or, you know, you go to one of your internal guys. Maybe Garrett Hill shows something. Maybe Tyler Alexander shows something. You know, you take some time to evaluate to see if any of these guys are worth the shot. That's what the Tigers did back in 2018 with Turnbull. And look at him now. He's been a really solid pitcher. So you got a nice trio to start, and then, you know, the other two, Brisky, I think, is that fourth guy, and then you got to find a fifth guy. Or Brisky's the fifth guy, and you find a fourth guy. So, and then the bullpen, you can do whatever you want. I think you know how to – I think the Tigers are pretty good with finding relievers, so I'm not worried about that. So going into next year, this team could be, I think, anything from another sucky 65-70 win team, or I think they actually could contend, because I think there is a path to contention. Say Gallo comes in and hits well. Then you have Meadows, who you know can hit, and Green, and then Torque finally starts to hit. Javi's better. Like, there's definitely a path back to redemption. I don't think it's like a lost cause, but I think there's definitely a lot of work to do, and I'm hoping that you replenish the farm, make the farm look a lot better, sign a free agent or two or three, pray to God that these guys regress back to the mean, and then maybe you win 85 games next year and you're back on the come up and have a much better farm system and you actually know how to draft guys. So that's kind of how I see the future outlook for the Tigers if I was in charge. Obviously, I'm not in charge. I'm a 17-year-old kid sitting in my room right now trying to act like I know stuff, but I think I have a decent understanding of this team, and I hope that this team can have a good deadline and make our lives a little bit miserable, because I think we're all kind of sick and tired of seeing a horrible ball team on the field.
So that's going to wrap things up. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. I will find a co-host. If you ever want to hop on and talk a little Tigers, hit me up. I feel like you'll probably have a better chance if I've talked to you before, but I think there's no reason not to hit me up and talk a little baseball with me. I can feel you out and then maybe have you on. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I will do another one probably in like 2 or 3 weeks after the trade deadline, have a chance to digest it and explain my thoughts and my analysis. So I hope you guys enjoyed and just peace out.